Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Dear Blood River Radio family, this has been one hell of a hour. The last hour, we call it flying by the seat of our pants because you never know what's going to happen on live radio. It's turned out to be a great and amazing second hour. It's a great hour. And I'll tell you something else. I take my hats off to Sister Nancy the Bell Carol. I think she just did the best segment of radio she's done. That fire, that spontaneous, originality, that sincerity was just boiling out of her. She's really upset. She has a heart of gold. She's worried about those Palestinians people. And you know what? People keep in mind, when we say Palestinian, you think about Arabs and stuff like that. There's many a Christian living in Palestine. Anyway, that's for another show. But anyway, we're going to go right back. We got Mark Tummy coming back in. He's going to be listening. He's going to ask a few questions. We got Sister Monica coming in. She's kind of laying in the weeds. And she's got some stuff she wants to do. But we're going to go back to Paul. Bring us back in. And just in case for listeners that are just signing on, sometimes people don't get in on time. Sometimes they come in late. Sometimes they have to listen to the archives. Briefly tell our listeners that are just tuning in the past a couple minutes, in a nutshell, what went on today with you and Patriot Auntie?
Well, yes, we got back to the car with about 2 minutes to spare. We'd been at a protest that was protesting several new pieces of legislation which would censor the internet, and we were protesting outside the offices of the Deputy Prime Minister, Chrystia Freeland, here in Toronto. It was a pretty good protest, although we did run into one Antifa person who tried to tell me I couldn't be there or shouldn't be there, but I just ignored him. So that's what we were doing, we're just very, very concerned. So much is happening politically. I think these are exciting times, this is a time I call on all, white nationalists to get involved. Do something. Don't just sit there and watch the TV. This is the time to speak up, speak out.
And I would like to salute you, Paul, because you've been doing this for years and years. Exactly. If I remember right, you started, what, about 1968, 69, when you got into activism, Paul? Is that right?
Yeah, actually 67.
67.
I was just a teenager, but that's not unusual. A great patriot, Dr. Ed Fields, down in Georgia, got involved as a 16-year-old back in 1948. He was involved, I believe, in the National States Rights or the Dixiecrats, Strom Thurmond, et cetera, and then the National States Rights Party. It's not unusual for activism to start early. I'm disappointed, though, that many of the young activists I saw 30 years ago in the Heritage Front and elsewhere, kind of over the years have dropped out. There are probably reasons for that, but I think it's important to stay the course.
I have to salute you again about that. And briefly, Patriot Auntie, just once again, just for the benefit of listeners that may be signing on, just now listening, give them you don't have to be too brief. Tell them about what you do, how they get in touch with you, and tell them what kind of activism you do, and give them solutions, suggestions, how they too can become a patriot like you. So go ahead, sister. Go ahead to Patriot Andy.
Thank you. Okay, so I also got involved quite young, going to pro-white music concerts and minor activism also as a teenager back in 88. So definitely there are many of us that got involved young, but I see a few familiar faces from, you know, those days, but not too many. So maintaining the course is important. Like, consistency, consistency, consistency is the formula to success.
Yes, it is.
So how do you be a patriot anti? Is just get involved. Yeah. Get involved with your local White Lives Matters. Get involved with maybe a traditional church that has your same ideology. Check in on your friends. You know, get involved online. Just get out there and start, you know, putting up stickers, doing activism, putting in interesting books and brochures into those free library boxes. Anything you can, you know, fill in any gap in your community that needs done. Like, we all have different talents. There's stages in life to be a mother, there's stages in life to be an auntie, and then there's stages in life to be the grandma, grandpa type. But, you know, there's activism, there's supporting people emotionally, supporting people financially, supporting people by lending a hand, or just networking your people that you know that have skills and talents that can help people in your community. That's paramount, is to support the community so they can get out there and do activism.
You know,
and he was very, very instrumental during the COVID lockdowns there for 2.5 years. In helping, white nationalists, some with families, some on their own. Many people were isolated, lonely. Some sometimes needed food, needed a little bit of assistance, and that's building a sense of community that people actually care about each other. That is vital. I mean, how many people want to go on a suicide mission, by taking a big public risk and then figuring, nobody's going to back me up and nobody's going to care. They'll just say, oh, boy, that's tough on you, you know. I remember Germans saying about Ernst Sindel, when he started getting into trouble, when he was putting out all his good material and started getting into trouble, he should have just kept his mouth shut. instead of saying, boy, he spoke up when I was too afraid to, but I'll give him a donation. Sometimes we ought to look into our own, examine our own consciences and see, have I done all I can? I might not be in the position in life where I can, go on the radio like Monica and Eddie and so on. But you can do something. You can write a check. You could get stickers. And there's all sorts of good white pride stickers and they're only two sexes stickers. Some young activists I know in London, Ontario, have just set that city on its head. What did they do? They've stickered all the schools with there are only two genders, boys and girls. That was the first day of school on the day after Labor Day. They made the local papers and the whole the left establishment, the LGBTQ crowd are just going bananas. And what did it cost? Probably, $20 for stickers and some willing hands to go and do it. I mean, there's no excuse for doing nothing. That's been my motto. We may not all be able to do everything. But we can all do something.
Absolutely.
And sitting on your overstuffed rear end and doing nothing is not an option, in my opinion.
Heck no. Can I say one more
fire,
thing,
brother,
before I sign out?
Sure, of course. Take all the time you
Monica,
want.
She's a lovely woman. I helped Paul last year set up the George Orwell free speech, which she was presented with. For all her great activism, her networking, her experiences, and just her just internal beauty. I mean, she's just a heck of a woman. I bought her book. I read her book. And I don't know her well. You know, I met her one time, but reading her book is just like sitting at her home as a,
yes,
cherished guest, having tea and reading the stories. I recommend anybody to, I think Barnes Review carries it, maybe Monica can let them know, but get the book. especially female activists. What a treat for us to get something put out by a woman like her. You won't regret it. Get the book. And find me on Telegram, Patriot Auntie on Telegram.
Spell it out.
P-A-T-R-I-O-T-A-U-N-T-I-E. Send me your sons, send me your daughters for my matchmaking project.
You absolutely have to come on. A star is born, so to speak. It's funny. I met you through Paul Fromm, and that's how we met. Got in touch with Sister Monica, aka Braveheart. We nicknamed her Braveheart. So Paul has brought us two stars, and Paul being the superstar himself. My God.
Yes.
What a night. I'm just blown away. It's funny how unplanned things turn out better. You can plan forever. And usually the best plans go awry, but this has been fantastic, I'm telling you. And I would like to stick to the pamphlets before we get out of time. We have a friend named Mike Weaver. I was communicating him the last couple of days. He has they call it the Goyim Defense Network TV. They've been putting out flyers. They spend their own money. And I was communicating him yesterday. They hit Georgia really hard, but now they're out of money. They spent all their money on flyers and gasoline. I intend to send them some money and I've been trying to get some flyers from them because I can't get them printed out at FedEx. People, I hear the music. I got to cut it off. Good. Thank you so much, Paul. God bless you, brother, and thank you so much, Patriot Auntie. God bless you. You have to come back on very soon.
Thank you.
See y'all later.
Okay,
now.
Thank you so much, Eddie.
Thank you, Paul. Dear people, hang on. Dear Blood River Radio family, hang on. We're going to transition to the next segment. Hang on.
Introducing PrepStartsNow.com, your ultimate guide to readiness and peace of mind. We offer practical preparedness tools, training, and education to take your family's household readiness to the next level. Browse the prep shop for essential products, check out our planning guides, and stay informed with our prep blog. Visit PrepStartsNow.com and subscribe to our emails for exclusive offers, new products, and future events. Remember, preparedness begins with PrepStartsNow.com.
Okay, listen up, people. I'm beating the bushes for a few good men. I don't want you boys the alt-right. I want the hardcore of the hard right. And I need you front and center, boots on the ground, at a minute's notice, in the streets, and I need your money. You know the problem that the whites of the world face. It's the all-too-real threat of global extermination. And you know what's going on in South Africa and Western Europe. And unless you're semi-comatose, you've already seen the first stages of white genocide unfolding in our country. Our culture is under constant full-scale attack by our enemy. The enemy never sleeps. They spend day and night wrecking the monuments and the graves of our beloved kin. They attack us physically everywhere we go. They've already taken the linen and our stone. Now they're coming after our flesh. And if you're not too squeamish, if you want to be part of the number one white advocacy group and the number one white civil defense group in the United States, then contact Eddie Bombardier Miller at BloodRiverRadio.com. And please, please donate. And God knows you need us as much as we need you. Thank you.
Former Sheriff Richard Mack recounts in his book, The Proper Role of Law Enforcement, how he came to realize while working as a beat cop how wrong the all-too-common orientation of police officers is when they think of their job as being to write tickets and arrest people. Richard Mack tells of his personal transformation from by-the-number cop to constitution-conscious defender of citizen safety and freedoms. Learn what it really means to serve and protect. Purchase your copy at cspoa.org. That's cspoa.org.
Dear Blood River Radio family, I'm almost tired from just listening to these patriots, man. That was totally unplanned, totally unscripted. The part of totally unplanned and unscripted was Patriot Auntie. Especially like Annie Elm, Aunt Sally. I was calling her Annie, like little orphan Annie, but it's Auntie, like somebody's aunt. But that was amazing. I see right now we've got somebody we'll have to bring on as a regular. You know, Paul Fromm, I said this during the break, he was responsible for our connection with Monica Schaefer. I nicknamed her Braveheart. If anybody else, if there's anybody should be called Braveheart, it would be Monica. And he also introduced us to Patriot Ante. What a what an amazing lady. But you know, I was talking during the break before you don't know if Monica's back or not. She had to take a quick break. But Mark, I was talking during. Oh, great, great. Mark, yeah. I was going to tell you too. I was talking to Mike Weaver. They're activists like we are. And, you know, I don't know a single activist that's not hurting for money. We never get in this movement for money. Matter of fact, to quote Sister Nancy Hitt, she told me her mother, that when she was a young person, her mother said she would do any job there was as long as there was no pay, as long as she did it free. It's kind of like this movement, this work. And I just wanted to put a shout out for Mike Weaver. They're out there doing work like Paul. I admire them. I look up to them because they do what we have on our website at Blood River. In fact, I was telling Rand, y'all, I'll be through this just a second, that me and Rand have got a few operations planned when I come back to these last two. I've got one marathon in November, one in December, and then we've got some operations planned. But here, let me tell you what Mike Weaver does. They go out in the street, and they have all these pamphlets. And the reason I brought the pamphlets up, Paul said something about distributing pamphlets. They have some of the best pamphlets you've ever seen. I think 15 of them. And Paul also mentioned about I think the people behind the pharmaceutical industries and the COVID thing. And the people with Goyim Defense Network, whom Mike Weaver is essential, he's one of the founders, they name, people say, well, you just can't say Jew. You got to name names. Well, I told some of my friends, how the hell am I going to know every stinking Jew? Well, you know what? Guess what? Mike Weaver and them, they know every stinking Jew, and they have these pamphlets, and they have the names of each and every Jew that completely owns the pharmaceutical industry. The same ones, the names of every single Jew in the Center of Disease Control, for the Food and Drug Administration, for you know, for the media,
porno.
On and on and on. 15 of them. Yes, porno, child trafficking.
Feminist movement.
They name them. They name the names to each Jew. Well, that,
LGBTQ.
That's right.
It just goes on and on.
So if you can get, I would like to get some pamphlets from them. I'd like to order them because I can't. I was trying to say before the break, I'm going to try again with Federal Express, FedEx. They have copying services there, but I have been unsuccessful. I've got to try something else because I've got to get these pamphlets to hand out. They're kind of expensive, especially the color ones. But anyway, I'm going to shut up now. Sister Monica, Braveheart, go back to you. I know you had some things you wanted to do, and we have Mark, Tommy in. I'm pretty much going to shut up and turn the mic over to you and Brother Mark, Tommy, because Brother Mark was able. He came in and sat in because Brother Rand couldn't come in. He bailed me out. And he did a marvelous job first hour like he always does. So anyway, we're bringing Mark back, and we got Sister Monica. So go ahead, Sister Monica. Take off, and Mark, you just chime in when you see the opening, brother.
Well, thank you so much. And thank you, and hello, Mark. I look forward to listening to the archives of the first hour and most of the second hour. I did catch the tail end, and yes, Nancy was on fire, and Paul was excellent, as always. And as we all are noticing, the war against all of us is escalating. And now, right now, with Israel going absolutely crazy, and I know that you covered that already, so I'm not going to focus on that. But the war against all of us is escalating by the usual suspects, those that create all these new laws against anti-Semitism, which is basically... You can define anti-Semitism by the fact that we are noticing patterns and that we are noticing and pointing out what they are doing. And that by they, I am talking about the Jews, those who are, you know, in key positions in all areas of influence, government, finance, and those same people who always cry that they are the poor persecuted, you know, minority or whatever. I heard one of you say that. Oh, the minority. Yeah, right. I think Paul said that. And so I did have some examples of that. And it all ties in with these issues, all of the issues that you know, you've been talking about and we've been talking about, and the war on the white people in particular. So there's a story in the latest Barnes Review, and it's just a one-page, very short little article, and it's called Political Correctness Sank the Titan. And the Titan is a submersible that was created for exploring the recently discovered Titanic, the sunken Titanic. And now the company who was, you know, instrumental, the engineering company in creating these submersibles, they decided that they were going to become politically correct and hire everybody except white men anymore, because they wanted to be diverse, you see, so and enrich their company, you know. But I guess that didn't work out so well. And, you know, there were some,
no, it didn't.
You know, there was, go ahead, sorry.
Oh, I just said, no, it didn't. I was backing you up and said, you're right, it didn't work out too well.
No, because what happened, I guess there was one white man left, and he was basically complaining that there were a lot of technical problems starting to develop, but I guess they went ahead anyway with their exploration. And what is it? I think I have to reread it here. I think 8 people died when this thing basically blew up underwater. I read this article last week, and I don't have that, but it basically self-destructed underwater, and people died, and that is how political correctness ran amok. So I suppose this is gonna, yeah, go ahead.
Oh, by the way, Nancy, by the way, Monica, Mark is a licensed professional engineer. We went over, you have to have extreme amount of education. You have to pass all kinds of tests. Anybody can get out of an engineering school, but in order to be a licensed professional engineer, you have to get incredible amounts of education and things like that. And Mark is a structural engineer. He knows a thing or two about what you're talking about. Go ahead, Mark. I just want to let the audience know who you are, Mark. Go ahead, brother.
Thanks, Eddie. Yeah, Monica, I was just going to say, I think I mentioned this on the show one of the previous times I was on, is a similar incident occurred 2 or 3 years ago. I guess it's been maybe a little longer. There was a notable pedestrian bridge collapse at, I believe it was Florida International University or something like that. This pedestrian bridge over a very busy road that runs right along the side of the campus collapsed suddenly and killed several people and injured quite a few people as a result of its collapse. And that was another one of those exercises in diversity. The entire design team was made up of Black and Hispanic women. I think there were some other folks thrown in for good measure and whatnot, but you know, white people were not allowed, shall we say. And you know, there were people who paid the price with their lives because somebody wanted to prove some politically correct point, you know, that these people can, you know, they can, we're going to have this completely diverse minority design team, and it's going to be wonderful, and everybody's going to brag about this. Well, you know, it didn't turn out so well. And so, you know, this is the kind of thing that's going to, we're going to see this happening more and more and more, because even in the so-called STEM fields, science, technology, engineering, and mathematics, which have traditionally been the almost exclusive abode of white men, and basically for the reason is because we're the ones that seem to have the ability to be able to do those things well, you know, to comprehend the concepts that those things are based upon, and be able to be successful at it. Most of the major universities now,
you look. Break. Hold that thought, Mark. We have to go to a quick break. Be right back, people. Right after this break, we'll go right back tomorrow.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA News, I'm Jeremy Scott. Israel's deadline to evacuate northern Gaza has passed. Israel Defense Forces dropped flyers and leaflets giving residents until 4 p.m. local time to evacuate through two main roads and head south. The U.S. is trying to move Americans through the Rafah crossing, which connects with northeast Egypt, but the crossing is closed on the Palestinian side because of Israeli strikes. Hundreds of thousands have already fled after being given notice of a coming ground offensive as Israel vows fierce retribution against Hamas for last week's raid that killed more than 1,000 people in a surprise attack. It's a war that continues to escalate.
The sound of explosions telling the story 1 week after Hamas terrorists shoot and kill Jews at point-blank range at a festival, taking hostages and raping women. The terrorists also targeting a nearby kibbutz, shooting and killing Jews in their beds, beheading babies, setting other people on fire, and burning down their homes. The Israeli Defense Forces report a senior member of the terrorist group Hamas, involved in the meticulous planning of last Saturday's terrorist attacks in Israel, has been killed. 150 Hamas rockets aimed at Israel overnight, causing damage to buildings in the town of Ashkelon. Israeli troops conducting localized ground raids right now in Gaza.
Laura Winters reporting. Excitement is building for the Ring of Fire solar eclipse.
Of course, we have the glasses. I believe our mom has them in the car. We've been prepared for, honestly, quite some time. We just finished like a 7.5-hour drive all the way from Sierra Vista, Arizona.
Teenager Ian Burnett spoke with 12 News in Arizona. Today's annular eclipse will block up to 90% of the sun in a narrow path from Oregon to Texas. You might be able to see it any minute now. You should not look directly at the sun, though, without proper safety glasses. This is USA News.
Greece is cheap.
But the airfare costs a fortune.
Paris?
Not much closer, and again, airfare...
What about Puerto Vallarta?
Let's face it, flying anywhere is just too expensive.
Wait, what's this? Low-cost airlines.
With one call to low-cost airlines, you'll drastically slash your travel costs. We're talking insanely low airline prices to any of your favorite destinations. Where would you like to go? London, Rome, Costa Rica, Australia?
Wow, that's cheap.
So why wait? Call now to learn how crazy cheap it is to fly anywhere in the U.S. or international. Our prices are so low, we can't publish them. The only way to get them is to call to instantly hear the most amazing best deals on airline travel. It's that easy. So call now and start packing.
800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. That's 800-215-5141.
Dear Blood River Radio audience, family, not audience, family, thank you for hanging on. We're going to go right back. I believe I should have wrote down what we were doing. I was too busy looking for a book during the break that I could not find. But we're going to go right back to our resident licensed professional engineer. He and Sister Braveheart were talking about this bathysphere, I would call it, that was blew up, exploded under great pressure under the sea. So we're going to go right back to our engineer, Mark Tommy. Go ahead, Brother Mark.
Yeah, just when the break caught us, what I was talking about was how the scientific and engineering fields have always traditionally been the bastions of white men, but over the last 20-30 years, most of the major universities are now bending over backwards to try to recruit women and especially minorities of any race into the scientific and engineering fields and whatnot, just for the sake of meeting quotas and everything. And sadly, even my alma mater, the University of Arkansas, they've succumbed to this too. And I used to get emails from the civil engineering department there at Arkansas, and it seemed like every time they sent me something, it was all about diversity, equity, and inclusion, and how you know, well, we had X number of women graduate last year, you know, 5% of our class was women, but we can do better. And, you know, only 5% of our graduates were black, but we can do better. We can make more strides in all this kind of stuff. And I finally sent a reply back to the professor who was responsible for sending those things out. And I said, look, I said, if this is the best that the flagship university of my native country can do, I said, you folks are doomed to fail. And I'm getting tired of hearing about this crap. I said, rather than y'all wanting to attract the best and brightest, regardless of their race or their sex, you're worried about meeting quotas of minorities and denying entry to more highly qualified white students simply because you want to show that you've met some kind of virtue signal quota. And I said, if that's the best y'all can do, then just take me off your email list, because every time you send me something like this, I want to throw up.
Yeah, Mark, this is the end of meritocracy. So in other words, it does not matter anymore how what your aptitudes, what your talents are. It only matters that you get in these, you know, like you say, the visible minorities. This is affirmative action, which has been going for decades and decades. And I remember in the beginning, you know, I bought into it. I mean, I was basically asleep at the wheel anyway until maybe 12 years ago. And so I was, you know, fooled by a lot of these things. But, you know, in the beginning, okay, their arguments were that, well, it has nothing to do with that some people are less intelligent. It's only that they've been oppressed. But, you know, after a while, that wears off, does it not? And the people that they are, you know, giving affirmative action to, whether that is, you know, people of different colors or women, they did that for the longest time. And me as a woman, I was puzzled over it because I didn't struggle in school or anything like that. But still, it's kind of like, oh, well, it's because of past injustices. Always this argument that they used to make it sound like it was all fair and good. But no, it has nothing to do with that. So meritocracy, in other words, your talents, your abilities, that is out the window. Well, what do they expect will happen? And I just want to make a correction about the story about this submersible called the Titan. I think I said something about 8 people on board. No, it was 1 person on board. But that very person on board, he had been sounding the alarms about some of the technical problems that were going on. It's like he was the last white guy there, and then he's the one who died. Like I said, I have to read it. Go ahead.
Yeah, they weren't going to be the old white guy. it's a shame. And you know, I've got a close acquaintance who works for the Texas Department of Transportation, and he's a project manager. And he and I talk from time to time about how things are done over there and some of the stuff that he has to do in the name of all this diversity, equity, and inclusion junk as it relates to constructing highways in the state of Texas. And, you know, they're required to give so much of the construction work to minority and women-owned businesses. Whether they're qualified or not, they have to meet these stupid government quotas, you know. And he tells me all the time about the amount of trouble that he has working with these people, because they don't, in the vast majority of cases, they don't know what they're doing. He's got to constantly go back behind them and fix their mistakes. Reprimand them for not following safety precautions, get on to them for not following the specifications and this, that, and the other. So on a real practical level, it is a losing proposition. It costs time. It costs money. It wastes so many resources and so much time that I don't know why enough people don't just finally throw up their hands and say, enough is enough. We're just not playing this stupid game anymore.
I, you know, I have because, an Yeah. I'm sorry. I have an idea why, you know, why people are not throwing their hands up and saying no more. I think that there's a lag time in us feeling the big consequences of this. Do you think that is correct? Because I think up to now, there have still been enough white guys in all these various businesses and all these different engineering companies and whatnot to, like you say, go behind what they've done and fix it, fix the mistakes that have been made, just make it good, make it better. Well, when that runs out, i.e. these white guys retire, they're gone, and the replacements are all that's left, well, guess what? Things will start to crumble really fast. And that's, I think, when the noticing will occur.
Oh, yeah. At some point, exactly, Monica, at some point, all the things that people have gotten used to and taken for granted here in America, it's going to become like America is going to become like any other third world cesspool, like Zimbabwe or, someplace in South America where the infrastructure begins to crumble. There's nobody who either has the knowledge or the ability to maintain it and keep it running and repair it or to construct new, or they're just too dadgum lazy and don't care, because their culture is one of nothing but graft and corruption and being paid off for one thing or another. And, you're right. And I've had that same thought myself. At some point it's going to get to the point where you're going to see more stories like what happened in Florida that I mentioned earlier. People are going to be driving across the I-40 bridge there at Memphis, and it's going to fall into the Mississippi River because the Arkansas and Tennessee highway departments eventually became populated with nothing but blacks and Hispanics and Indians and whatever. And they just couldn't keep up with it and keep it maintained. And the damn thing's going to fall into the river and it's going to kill a bunch of people. And then we're going to go back to ferrying people back and forth across the Mississippi on boats, because they're not going to be able to build the bridge back.
They'd be sinking.
If they're smart enough to build a ferry to run back and forth across the river, I have my doubts about that sometimes too. They may be paddling back and forth in canoes, but,
that's true. I mean, sounds funny, but it's true.
It is. It's a real problem. And at some point, the chickens are going to come home to roost. And so,
That's right. I remember Jan Lomprey. Sorry, go ahead.
White guy. I said, but at least they'll have gotten rid of all us evil old white guys.
Oh, yeah, isn't that great? They'll just be so thrilled and happy, but then they'll be crying for help. There's a guy in South Africa, Jan Lamprecht, and I remember him making this comment. He said, I wish the white guys would stop, fixing everything for the blacks who are basically taking over and all the, utilities and all the companies and everything's falling apart. But there's always white people who run behind and fix everything. And he says, look, basically what we need here is for the systems to collapse so that we can get back to, we just have to segregate, separate everybody out and then start over. But
Mark, we're going to go to a quick break. I don't know if you hear the music, but we've got to go to our last break. I can't believe it's already time for our last break. Be right back, people.
Do you know what is great about America? Ask an immigrant. Ask an Immigrant is a new podcast dedicated to helping Americans, especially our youth, value, appreciate, and be grateful for the freedoms we have here in America. Join host Lydia Wallace Nuttall as she interviews immigrants from around the world to discover their inspiring personal stories about why they came to America. To learn more about why America is the most prosperous, greatest country in the world, download the Loving Liberty app or go to lovingliberty.net.
Blood River Radio is the only news media in the United States whose sole purpose of being is to fight against the ever-rising tide of global white genocide, both soft and hard genocide, whether it is in the form of ethnic cleansing via the current massive invasion of non-white, non-Christian hordes that are overwhelming the once all-white nations of Western Europe, the United Kingdom, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, and the United States, or via the hard genocide in South Africa, where the rape, murder, and torture of whites is an ongoing daily occurrence. Though we are a Christian brotherhood, we will cooperate with other groups in our operations if it will shorten our people's casualty list. We further pledge to you to leave the radio studio at every opportunity and take it to our churches, to our universities, and most importantly, we promise to occupy the streets. However, none of our mission can succeed without funding. Please help us all that you can and donate to our cause by going to www.bloodriverradio.com.
In the medical field, IT security is crucial. Our highly skilled consultants are HIPAA certified and have 20 plus years of experience servicing medical clinics, billing, and supply companies. We offer comprehensive endpoint protection, guarding your computers and servers against all stages of threats. And with our 24/7 monitoring services, you'll never worry about extensive downtime again. Ready to level up your IT support? Call 801-706-6980 today and discover how great IT services can be with Managed IT Services.
Excuse me, Captain. I know this may sound silly, but can you fly?
Nope. Never had a lesson.
Well, dear Blood River Radio family, believe it or not, we're almost out of time for this show. We're going to go back. Mark was going to kind of wind up, I believe, what he was talking about. And then Sister Braveheart has some solutions that she wants to cover. And, you know, here we always try, we don't do it every single episode, but we always try to be about solutions at the end of the game. Go ahead, Brother Mark.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, to get back on that topic, it's, you know, we're facing a crisis of civilization, you know, to use a phrase that gets batted around from time to time because of this kind of stuff. And, you know, whether people want to admit it or not, you know, you look at the history of the world and practically all of the major advancements in civilization throughout recorded human history, whether it's aqueducts or skyscrapers or spaceships or computers or whatever, you know, has been a result of the efforts of the white race. All of the Afrocentrist arguments to the contrary notwithstanding, they weren't kings, and they certainly weren't the kings of Egypt. But so at some point you get to where there's not enough of us around to keep it running anymore, then it's going to fall apart. Now, you know, there's always, if you want to take a dystopian view of things, you could probably say that, the lords and masters whose master plan we're falling prey to here, they may keep enough of us around as useful slaves to keep the machines turning and that kind of thing. But, the rest of us, they'll get rid of. So, that's not a good alternative either, because, either way, you're looking at a very bleak future for everybody and everything. And so it's just incumbent upon our people to wake up and smell the coffee, as the old saying goes. And as I've said before, get together, get organized, and become active with some organization. Even if you have to start your own organization, but become active with somebody, with some group who is carrying the fight to the enemy. You got join the League of the South and work for Southern independence. Join the NRA if you want to. Whatever your particular issue or whatever front you want to fight on, but get out there and do something. And, it's getting to the point, I was thinking about this a little earlier, and I've actually got the clip queued up, but I don't know if you'd be able to hear it if I played it over my computer speakers, but It's a scene from the outlaw Josie Wales towards the end of the movie where they're all huddled up in the house and they know they're going to be attacked by the bad guys. And Josie's giving them a pep talk and instructions about, you know, what to do when the fighting starts. And he tells them, when it starts, you're going to have to get mean. I mean, plumb mad dog mean. And he said, because if you lose your head and you give up, then you neither live nor win, and that's just the way it is. And that should be a slogan or a watchword for our people. If you lose your head and give up, then you neither live nor win. So you better get plumb mad dog mean.
Absolutely. To defeat what we see in action, Miss Monica, I bet you agree, is the clergy plan has almost completed. It's a complete pathway. This was planned hundreds of years ago. We talked about clergy every now and then. He roughly 100 years ago, he put out, of course, he was a Jew, a Jewish heritage, and he just put this plan out how they were going to get rid of the white race. And what you're seeing by ethnic cleansing and all this other stuff we're talking about, putting minorities into sports, into professions, et cetera, et cetera. But with that, before we run out of time, we'll go to Sister Braveheart. She's got something she wants to do. And yeah, it has to do with solutions. Go ahead, Sister Braveheart.
Well, first of all, I'd just like to say you're right on with your comments, Mark, and that everybody's got to get active. And if they do not join in our organization or get organized, people can be an army of one themselves. And there's lots of things they can do, like what Patriot Auntie said in the previous hour, you know, leafleting, stickers, just getting people away. So there's something that happened recently in the Coquitlam area, which is near Vancouver. And it's a whites only moms and tots group, these posters. And they had a message on these posters, which I thought was just great. Now, okay, they did, you know, investigate and start a criminal, you know, investigation and all that. That should not scare people off of doing these actions. No, it should fire you up to do these things more. But this poster, I'll just read what it said. It said, "Are you looking for somewhere your children can play with others that look like them? Are they tired of being a minority in their schools and daycares? Escape forced diversity and join other proud parents of European children as we create an atmosphere in which our kids can feel like they belong. Invest in your child's sense of well-being and racial identity by giving them the gift of time spent amongst their own people, because they deserve it." End of the quote, what's on these posters. And there was an article about this, and one of the comments underneath this article said, oh, so this is controversial, right? But when they organize a Black-only event, it is called powerful and cultural, so that's okay, right? I mean, there's such a double standard with these kinds of things. Everybody can celebrate their own identity except the white people, and everybody can have freedom of association among their own people, but not the white people, because then we are evil, racist bigots, right? So, but these posters were there, and that's fantastic, and people should do more of this. They should do this in every community, and even if it's just you starting your own thing, you will meet others who will join you. And so, you know, yes, it's time. Like, it's the 11th hour. Get active. There are millions of us around the world who are awake and getting active. So do not lose heart. The enemy likes us to think that we are just alone and, you know, just a bunch of isolated nutcase kooks, and that we've lost. That, like, they do like to indoctrinate us or program us with that message that, oh, it's hopeless and they're, you know, basically give up. No. That's part of their strategy. That is just simply not true. So I would say people take heart, take action. Every time you take some action, no matter how small it is, it will boost your energy and you will get fired up, and then you will take more action. And it is a really wonderful way to live. So yeah, go ahead.
I've told people for a long time now, Monica, that, We have forgotten how powerful the word no is. And, you know, an example from my own personal life is when all the COVID junk was going on, and my wife and I were traveling, and we stopped at a restaurant to eat, and there was a young girl who was the maitre d', and she asked us, you know, how many and if for our table and so forth. And so she looks at me and she says, "Sir, do you have a mask?" And I said, "No, I sure don't." And she said, "Well, can I give you one?" And I said, "Well, darling, you can give it to me, but I'm not going to wear the damn thing." And she just stood there. She just stood there and looked at me for about 5 seconds, like a deer in the headlights. And she finally picked up two menus and two sets of silverware and led my wife and I to a table and turned around and walked off. And I, when she got out of earshot, I looked over across the table at my wife and I said, "You have no idea how good that felt."
I know it had to.
That's all it takes. You've just got to tell these people no, you're not going to do it. And if enough of us will collectively say, "No, we're not doing this anymore," then they will lose their power over us. But as long as we continue to think that we have to play by their convoluted, double standard, twisted rules, then we're going to lose. But if you decide you're going to play by your own rules, which means the rules of civilized Christian society, you know, where yes means yes and no means no and right is right and wrong is wrong, and free is free and slavery is slavery. If you're willing to stand up for those things and exert yourself against these people, you'd be surprised how quickly they'll back down from you when they see you're not going to comply. And as I like to say, from having lived in Louisiana for 20 years, you don't crawfish on them all the time. You know, then they don't have power over you anymore. You know, when they accuse you of saying something racist or anti-Semitic, you know, you can say, "Well, yes, what's your point?" And of course, you know, it's on that particular score. I mean, heck, everything is racist and anti-Semitic. You know, there's no set definition of any of those things. You know, you disagree with the political policies of the state of Israel. Well, that makes you an anti-Semite. You disagree with affirmative action policies and quotas, so that makes you a racist. You know, it's all a bunch of Orwellian doublespeak. And again, until we decide to stop living in Wonderland with Alice and the White Rabbit and come back to reality and tell these people we're not going to do what they want us to do anymore, then it's only going to get worse. So stand up for yourself. Be brave. Don't be afraid. You know, fear is the biggest killer of anything. As Dr. Hill likes to say. Never give counsel to your fear.
That's right. Remember that. You know, I'd like to brief this. You know, Revelation 21:8, the King James Bible, my favorite, says, and I've always said this, God hates the fearful. God hates a coward more than anything. In Revelation 21:8, he lists all the people that God hates, and here they are. Guess what? The fearful is at the head of the list. But the fearful and unbelieving and abominable and the murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idlers and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. He lists fearful as the top of the list. Also, like Monica said, like you said, do something. Anything you do, nothing you do is in a vacuum. It's going to have some kind of effect no matter what you do. You are an army of one. We know that God hates the cowards. Alexander Solzhenitsyn said that. When Alexander Solzhenitsyn came to America, I think back in the 70s, he said the one thing that jumped out to him more than anything else was the cowards, the effeminization of Western man, how they become cowards. Monica, the last word for you, Miss Monica.
Oh, well, I just want to say, Mark, it was fantastic what you said there, and I couldn't have said it better. And thanks, Eddie, for having us on. And, yeah, I look forward to next week.
Thank y'all for being a part of me, of my life, and a part of Blood River Radio. That comes to the bottom of my heart. Thank you. I love you two people to death. Well, good night, both you two. Well, good night, Sister. Yes, yes.
Good night.
Good night, Sister Monica. Good night, Brother Mark. Good night, Miss Lizzie, Miss AKA Miss Teenage America. Good night, Jay. Good night, Blood River Radio family. See y'all same time, same place next week, God willing. Good night, everyone.